on the water. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "This is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
I'm glad to have this chance to share with you this morning. I have looked forward to it with a little bit of a nervous excitement. That kind of happens. And I've asked a lot of people to pray for us as we come together. A couple of people tried to reassure me, and they said, "You don't need to be nervous. I'm sure that this is just like riding a bike." And I said, "Well, maybe it is, but even bikes get flat tires, and I told that to someone, and he says, "And some bikes also rust when they haven't been used in a while." So we'll see how that rolls. But I am glad to be here. It did leave me with another question, a very serious question. Do I stand or sit down? That also can be a challenge. But as I thought about that just for a brief time, the answer came very quickly. Because I realized that if I stand, I'm almost as tall as Pastor Andy when he sits down. So we'll just take care of it this way. Okay. This morning I want to talk to you about the making of a miracle. Pastor Roger read the account of that night when Jesus had, as he said, had already fed the 5,000, and then he sent the apostles out in the boat to cross the sea. And he did that so that he could dismiss the crowd and also so that he could go to his Father in prayer. When the people, the apostles, were about halfway across, middle of the night they were halfway across, which would have been about roughly 4 miles or so out to sea, the storm came. And although these men had a lot of experience out on the water, these were not rookies. They were not, it wasn't a new thing for them, and yet they were still really afraid. Now, with divine eyes, the Lord looked out on the water, and he could see them, and he saw their distress. So he goes out to them, and he goes out walking on the water. But it's the middle of the night, and I'll tell you, some things can be scary regularly, but they get more scary when it's dark. Have you noticed that? Those little creaks? And when it's dark and it's a storm, and you're really tired, that makes it all worse. So these guys were terrified, But then the Lord came and he gave the greatest answer to fear that anyone can give when he simply said, "It is I. It's me. You don't need to be afraid." Then Peter speaks up. And it's interesting that this account is given in Mark and in John as well, but this is only Peter's words are only recorded here in Matthew. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out." And the Lord said, "Come." And Peter steps out. Now, people have noticed that Peter became afraid, but still, when Peter went out, he went out to Christ, and he walked on the water. That deserves a wow, an amen, and a praise God. He walked on the water. That is a level of faith and of action that few people ever reach. Sometimes in sports, you hear the expression about taking it to the next level. We need to bring it to the next level. And that's the idea of when you have someone who's probably already a good ball player, already on the court or on the field pretty often, but for some reason, something happens, and whatever level they had been at, they're able to achieve more. There's a noticeable improvement. And this morning, I think the Lord would challenge us to take our faith to the next level, have a new adventure in Christian living. I think the Holy Spirit wants us to be more than just people who believe in Christ, who recognize Christ. That's important. That's essential, really. But we are really called to be followers of Christ. So what do we need if we want to be involved in the making of a miracle? I think the first step is to know that there is trouble. Simply admitting that as a reality. And people tend to hold back on that for some reason. Isn't it strange that some people can be living their life and you can look at them and you can see all sorts of situations that are not the way you would want them to be, and yet they seem to be saying, "There's no waves in my life, I'm perfectly fine, I'm not even getting wet," you know? And they think that they're doing well. It's kind of confusing, because if a relationship is in distress, does it really help to deny or to ignore the problem? It's like when someone is sick, but they're not taking any medicine, and you offer to pray for them, and they kind of say, "Well, don't worry about it. You know, it's okay." You know, well, how sick do you want to get before you ask people to pray? You know, I ask people all the time. You know, we need to admit that there's a trouble. We need to say, "Lord, the boat is rocking, and we're taking on water." And this doesn't mean that you let the trouble start to consume your thoughts and your emotions or anything like that. The recognition of trouble doesn't mean that trouble is in charge. It just means that you're going to take action to try to fix or improve that problem, that situation. You see, trouble really can be a catalyst to prayer. It can be something that stimulates us in our spiritual lives, because it's during those times that we realize that we have a need for God. And we don't just need him out there somewhere later on. We need him here, and we need him now. So that's the key thing. That's the key for us. That's the key for this world, because this world has trouble. More than cancer or climate change or anything else, people everywhere need to hear the message of forgiveness of sin. And that's only available through Christ. And how will they believe that unless they hear it, unless they're told? First thing is to acknowledge, to know that there's trouble. Secondly, you have to know that the Almighty One is before you. This wasn't a ghost. I smiled, but then when I first read that, and then you think, well, really, that might be something you would think of. You know, what is this? I'm, you know, in the middle of the night, in the midst of the sea, you see someone approaching, and you start to think, what is that? You know, and you realize that you start to say, well, okay, I could see where they would wonder, what could this be? But it wasn't a ghost or their imagination. The fact is, Jesus was there. And I want to tell you something. I think that Peter realized something dynamic here. Peter saw something that I believe the others missed it. So do you know what it's like when you have seen something or heard something a lot of times, and you've always kind of thought of it one way? You know, you see or hear this, so it means that. Okay. But then one time you see it or hear it, and it's different. and you realize that before you only had part of the story. Have you had that experience? I think that's what happened to Peter in this case. The apostles all knew that miracles happened. They'd seen a lot of them. But right here, after the feeding of the 5,000, where the Lord took just a few loaves and a couple of fish and fed a multitude, right after that, I think this experience comes, and for Peter, this truth got bigger. Remember in the passage, Peter could have said, "Lord, if it's you, then let us have some extra light to see. Lord, if it's you, would you part these clouds so we could get the moonlight? Lord, if it's you, would you show us what direction we should row?" You know, he could have said any of those things. But instead, Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to walk on the water as well. Command me to come." Peter saw that it wasn't just Christ doing something. It was that through Christ, he could do something. And I think for him, that was a different step. I think in these happenings, Peter started to understand that Jesus wasn't just a man sent from God who could do miracles. Jesus was the miracle giver. Jesus was God himself. In all that means, you know, I think he realized in that moment that the Almighty One was before him. Not just a man sent from God, but God himself. That is why Peter did not ask for deliverance from the storm. He didn't care about that. He just wanted to be with Jesus in the storm. As long as he was there, he was okay. Some people say, "Well, I know miracles are possible, but I don't know if they really still take place." You know, are you kidding? They're all around us. Miracles happen all the time. I don't know if you happen to see the latest issue of the Alliance Life. If you don't get this, it's free. You can have it delivered to your home for nothing, and it's an excellent thing. But on the back page, article called Plagues Followed by Repentance. And this is an account, and it happened some years ago in Indonesia, but I mean, this wasn't 2,000 years ago. This was like in some of our lifetimes. And it says that the Dayak people were living in Indonesia, and they had been resistant to the gospel. But suddenly they were turning to God in significant numbers. And in 1 year, about 400 people had come to Christ and were saved and following him. So they went to the pastor, and they said, "How has this happened?" And the pastor said, "Well, I think it's because of these unusual plagues that have just taken place. And the people have been confessing and repenting. And he said, "Well, what happened?" And he said, "Well, the people, when they were out planting their rice fields in their private gardens, their family gardens, even out of a clear sky, these bugs started to fall from the sky. They were like worms, and they fell from the sky. And they tried to, you know, the people gardening tried to kill the bugs, but they couldn't kill them fast enough. And as they're watching, these bugs started to eat into the rice that the young plants that were there, and they just started to wipe them out." He says, "But the thing was, the bugs that were coming from the sky didn't fall everywhere. They skipped all of the gardens that belonged to the Christians." And they said, "And those gardens were interspersed in all different ways, like a checkerboard." So you can kind of imagine that there's the white squares and the brown squares. Well, they only fell on one of those. And that caused the people to be curious. And then in the spring, something similar happened, except it was hail. And it was large and damaging hail, and it was destroying all of these homes, but it didn't touch any of the homes that belonged to Christians. And then they got it. I thought I was slow. It took them a while. But then they got it. And then they said, "You know, we need to turn away from our sin and turn to the living God." That sounds like something out of Moses and Exodus, but that happened, in again, some of our lifetimes, and God is working like that all the time. You know, so it's important for us to realize who is there in our midst and to be willing to take the step. And that leads us to the third idea, the thought that Peter had to leave the crowd. You see, Peter could have asked for the other apostles to come along. When the Lord says, "Come," That's one thing, but Peter then could have said, okay, guys, are you with me? You know, let's join hands here, you know, but he didn't do that. Or for that matter, the others could have said, okay, Lord, you're calling Peter, call me too. But they didn't do that. You know, they could have, but they didn't. Instead, the others just stayed there. And please realize that the other apostles, they didn't sin by staying in the boat, but they didn't walk on water either. They just kind of stayed there, watching somebody else experience the miracle. Jesus was coming, so they probably thought that they could just be content to relax, to sit, to watch. But I wonder also what the others were thinking. When that big fisherman was, you know, stepping over the boat, over the edge, you know, probably shaking just a little bit. I wonder if somebody said, Peter, what are you doing? You could drown. Or I wonder if maybe some of them thought, Peter always wants to be first in line. Why is he like that? You know, Peter always tries to be the Lord's favorite. He's always trying to get up close, stand on the right side, and all of that. For some reason, when a person wants to step out for God, there often seems to be somebody that tries to hold them back, perhaps with good intentions, but they try to hold them back. They tell them, you can be a, you know, be a believer, but just don't be extreme. You know, just, you know, be a casual Christian. But being a casual Christians only see the wonder of God at a distance. There's an American expression about, you know, just follow the crowd. How do I get there? Well, just follow the crowd. The problem is, how do you follow Jesus and follow the crowd when the crowd doesn't follow Jesus? How do you do that? The answer is you can't. You can be a fan of Christ. You can admire the Savior. You can think he was a good man who did great things. You can believe in his death and resurrection and even ask him to forgive you your sins. All of that is important. But if we stay there, then we're going to miss out on the experience of really having his wonder touch our hearts and lives. Now, later that day, I'm pretty sure Peter felt humbled because he did become afraid and he did sink. But I have a feeling as a couple of days went by, the other apostles probably went to him, if he was still discouraged, and said, Peter, in the history of the earth, the only person to walk on water besides Jesus was you, because you were willing to take that step. And that was because Peter knew that there was trouble, and he knew that the Almighty was there, and he was willing to step away from the crowd. But when you step away from the crowd, finally, you have to be willing to take a chance and to step out of that boat. And I think we need to do the same thing. You see, the Church of Christ is the most amazing and powerful thing in the world. We are just like we always have been. We have been the people who, through history, have started universities and hospitals. We have cared for those who no one else would care for. We have trusted God for the supplying of great and mighty and amazing things. We have been the people who have crossed the oceans to bring the message of wholeness and life to people. That is what we've always done. And yet, sadly, so often today, it seems that the church just doesn't surprise anyone anymore. We don't surprise them as much with our boldness and our ingenuity and our sacrifice. And I think we need to get out of the boat. The story is told of Abraham Lincoln when he was president of the United States during the middle of the Civil War. He took an aide and they went together to a church service. Afterwards, his aide asked the president how he liked the sermon. And the president said, it was carefully thought through and it was eloquently delivered. So the aide said, so you thought the sermon was great? And the president said, no. He said, it was a failure. He said, because he did not ask us to do something great. Lincoln was saying what that old song says. You and I, we know the master of the wind and the maker of the rain. Following Christ has huge pluses, and you should know that, but you should also know that to be a follower of Christ, though it may be sensible, it is never going to be safe. It is never convenient. It takes us being courageous, because Christ asks a lot if we are to follow him, but he also offers so much more, and that's what we're called to do. And so this morning, I would want to invite you to an uncomfortable Christianity. And yet, not really so uncomfortable, because can't we trust a big God to do big things? Can't we trust an almighty God to do things that are beyond our mental understanding? We can believe him for that. You and I need to step out of the boat. Not because we're going to something, but because we're trusting in someone. By stepping out, we are being dependent on the Spirit of God. We're surrendering control. We're saying, Lord, I don't know how this works, but I know who you are. So I'm willing to take the step. And it steps into accelerated spiritual growth. You may have noticed that the title this morning was The Making of a Miracle. I should explain that, because there was a lot of miracles that took place right in these few verses. There was the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. That's what obviously gets the headline most of the times. There was the miracle of Peter stepping out and walking on the water. There was the miracle of the storm stopping in that moment. But what is just as great of a miracle is the change that took place in Peter. For his faith to grow this way, for his willingness to step to Christ, but even stepping away from that other group. You know, when their minds, this was the moment, I think, when their minds became fully open to the question, what manner of man is this? And they saw the answer that he is the Savior. He is Christ the Lord. In just a minute or two, Mike's going to come and he'll offer a song for us. And I'm inviting you to take that step as well. To meet me perhaps here at the front. You may want to do it in your chair, but that's not quite the same. You know, I think if Peter could follow the Lord by stepping out of a boat onto a bouncing around ocean, then perhaps we need to step away from our comfortably padded seats and say, Lord, if you are calling me, then I want to be faithful. If you do come here, you should know I'm not going to ask you to say or do anything. It's just by the act of coming in these moments, you're telling the living Christ, Lord, when you call, I'm going to follow. Lord, if you want to use me, I may not feel confident, I may feel nervous, but Lord, I want to be used. So that by coming here, you're just saying that. Okay, so you go ahead. And as Mike starts to lead us in music, if you feel like you'd like to come and join me here, you're very welcome to do that.